I'm happy now to welcome to the program Chris Rivera. He is running for City Council in District 3. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Ipsy. It's a pleasure to be here. Such a great community place, community restaurant. So
the baking company.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So why are you running?
Well, first of all, I've been in public service my entire life, my entire adult life, working with the fire department since I was about 22 years old, and have been serving this community the entire time, mainly as a paramedic on the ambulance. We're really running on calls where, you know, our community members, our neighbors are having to deal with difficult times and having to go in and help them or their mothers or fathers or anybody else. So I've gotten into the mode of kind of being a public servant, and I enjoyed it. And when I retired in 2010, I realized how much I really miss serving the public. And when I found out that they had redrawn the district lines and Councilor Chavez was not going to be able to run again in this district, I started to explore the idea. He did a great job, by the way. I think he was a good counselor, so I hope I can do as good a job as he did in our district. But really, I saw a lot of inequities in District 3. We don't have the same amenities that a lot of other districts do. We don't have enough grocery stores. Now that the new Walmart's out there, that's really the closest grocery store to many people. But it's always so packed, it's tough to get in and out of there. Albertsons is kind of close by, but again, unless you have a vehicle, sometimes it can be difficult. You see a lot of people walking on Airport Road to and from the grocery store. So maybe some more amenities down Airport Road a little bit would be
more
helpful.
Local-owned kind of grocery stores, or what are you saying?
Probably locally owned would probably be great, I think. You know, for people to go down and get some fresh vegetables, fresh fruit would be great. Community gardens, little farmers market maybe down on our side of town. Those would all be great things. And those are some of the things that we need to do. Also, parks. I think the Santa Fe Reporter did a study not too long ago that said a two-mile radius around Councilor Boucher's, there was some 340 acres of park. And that same two-mile radius around Councilor Dominguez's home, who lives in the south side of town, southwest side of town, there are only 10 acres of park. So, you know, huge. And we have the most amount of kids living in our part of town, so down there in Tierra Contenta. So really they should have a place where they can go play soccer. A lot of kids in my district love soccer, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is they want to do.
And what about the girls and the non-sportive children?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we have a lot of hiking areas as well, hiking trails out there. We have a lot of undeveloped area, and the natural beauty of Tierra Contenta is great. You can go hike, you can do all kinds of things. I know Girls Inc. was out there not too long ago, and unfortunately they were unable to maintain their little facility they're building there. So, you know, can the city do things more to help Girls Inc. come back? Right now there's an empty building down there. It would be nice to have Girls Inc. or maybe Santa Fe Boys and Girls Club come to that side of town. But also anything for our kids to do, because right now I don't think there's just enough for them to do.
What do you see in terms of possibilities for, if you were on city council, working toward economic development? What kind of economic development, what kind of jobs, and what kind of good jobs?
Yeah, I think the best place to look right now is with renewable energy. I think that's probably the wave of the future. That's probably what we need to start looking towards. I know the incubator is down on the south side of town, and you know that would be a good place, I think, for small businesses to start up. And really look at things like solar energy, wind power. I know there's some study being done with algae, fossil
yeah.
fuels. So, you know, promising things in the future. And I think really that's where we need to go.
How do you see the city making use of renewable energy, both to save money and to lower its carbon footprint? Is that part of your thinking?
Yeah, definitely. I think we need to reduce our carbon footprint as much as possible. Otherwise, we're not going to leave much of a clean world for my children and my children's children. So,
what would that look like in terms of the city itself?
Well, I think the city's already looking at solar power as a renewable energy source. One of the bonds has to deal with the solar panels there at the Genoviva Community Chavez Center. So if we can make sure that that gets built out and that the entire center can be powered with solar energy, it would pay for itself over, you know, a number of years, but ultimately would reduce that carbon footprint that we were talking about and also provide a good sustainable energy source for a large facility here in Santa Fe. Well, also on the Public Safety Committee, we just approved them looking towards solar energy to the fire station there on Ashbaugh Park. So
right.
that's another one that's being looked at.
You've spent your whole life in Santa Fe. How have you seen it change? What changes are good? What changes are not so good? And how does all of this affect your thinking about the city?
Well, I have seen it grow quite a bit. My grandfather was from here. He used to tell me about when the city went as far as Cerrillos and St. Francis, the railroad tracks there. And then, you know, when I was growing up, McDonald's on Cerrillos Road was pretty far out of town. So now to see it grow as much as it has been amazing. And that's one thing I think I've learned is that no matter what, you can't stop growth. It's going to happen. So it's just about managing that growth, where we want to go as a community, what we want to see as a community. So really, the southwest side of town is the fastest growing part of Santa Fe, has the most opportunity. So we have to make sure that it grows the way we as a community want it to grow.
It's something that I think is really important to talk about. Economic growth can never be infinite, and a city's growth can never be infinite because there are limitations of resources, above all, water.
Right.
So how do you think, it always happens, but at a certain point, you've got to realize that it has to stop, too.
Well, that's one thing we need to look at. Now, the Buckman Direct Diversion Project is going to help a lot. But right now, the city only has a 40-year water plan, and I think we need to have probably a 100-year water plan and beyond. We're starting to work more with the effluent management plan. So where is that water going to go? How's that going to be utilized? How do we maintain our living river, which, you know, provides such great beauty to the city of Santa Fe? There's so many water issues, and I think we need to really seriously look at where we're going to be 100 years down the road instead of having just a water plan for the next 40 years. So,
when you think about the parks in Santa Fe, do you think of them as pretty much just recreation places or also as ecosystems? That's something I wonder as they keep on killing or moving all the prairie dogs and things like that.
Yeah, well, I see them as both. They're really a great place to recreate for our kids, for our families to go have a picnic, but they're also... they keep the ecosystem alive. Nice place for birds to go, for different kinds of animals that are kind of unique to the city of Santa Fe. You know, prairie dogs, I know a lot of people, you either like them or you don't, I guess. There's very people that are in between. But, you know, they're a vital part of what we are here in Santa Fe. So, you know, finding places that they can live and live peacefully is an important thing. So I see them as both.
What sets you apart, do you think, from the other candidates running for city council?
Well, I'm the only candidate in my district, District 3, that's gone after the public campaign financing, which means I had to collect $5 from 150 people in my district, and then the city basically gave me the money to run. It wasn't the city, it was the taxpayers. So basically, I'm indebted to the people that I represent, nobody else. I'm forbidden to take money from special interest groups or businesses, and I'm also forbidden to take any in-kind contributions. So even if somebody said, I want to donate something to you, it's forbidden as part of the policy. So I think that's important. And then also my history at City Hall. I have quite an extensive history there. I've worked well with the current counselors there. I know there's going to be a lot of new counselors, but I have that knowledge of City Hall and how it works and how to prepare budgets.
Chris Rivera is running for City Council in District 3. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I'd like now to welcome Marie Campos. She is running for City Council in District 3. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Charlotte. It's nice, Mary Charlotte. It's nice to be here today.
So let's talk about why you decided to run for City Council.
Okay. Well, the reason why I decided to run for City Council is because I do community work, and I have done a lot of work in the rural communities and economic development, and just trying to uplift communities. And I had gotten done pretty much settled all the projects that I was working on. And there was an open seat for City Council in the district that I live in my own neighborhood. And as I looked around in the neighborhood, I noticed that, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, that nothing had really changed much. You know, our streets aren't taken care of, and there's a lot of things that we need for our youth. And so I thought, well, maybe this is a good time for me to take on things for my own neighborhood where I live.
What would you like to take on, and what do you think is the role of neighborhoods in taking those things on?
Well, I think that what I would like to take on is really looking at the community and finding out what is important to the community. And as I've been campaigning, that's the approach that I've been taking. One of the things that, of course, that I noticed right away, like I had mentioned already, is about the youth and finding really a future for our youth, and that to me comes back to our working families. We have a lot of working families in the third district, and with those working families, they have a lot of particular needs. And, of course, jobs. There's a lot of unemployment in District 3 as across the nation, but it's concentrated here in the city in District 3. And I think that from a city council level that we can look at how we can support those working families with housing and different things.
So when you talk about jobs, I always think jobs is such a buzzword. There's jobs and there's good jobs. There's short-term jobs, there's poor-paying jobs, and there's long-term jobs and better-paying jobs. And how do you see to it, like, what kind of jobs do you think would be good for District 3, and how would you bring them in?
Okay. Well, there's a number of approaches that I think can come out of the community. I think the best way to job development to develop is looking at the actual assets of the community. You have your what workforce do you have, what assets do you have that are available to be developed. And there's one thing that particularly came up in my race, and that was with the soccer players. And within the soccer industry, that's an international industry, and it's an international sport. And it's well loved in District 3. I haven't heard anybody say we want baseball fields. I haven't heard anybody. I have heard skate parks also, but which is a good activity, adolescent activity, and it's a good thing to have. And I think we should work on that also. But with the soccer fields, there's really a demand or a want in the community for regulation size soccer fields, so that they can run tournaments. They can run national youth tournaments and international soccer tournaments. And that would draw a lot of income into the city if that was realized, if we had a sustainable soccer infrastructure, because we could run international games, which would bring a lot of the fans into the city. And then also on the local level, for the youth, and then nationally to bring other youth games into the city. So that's one thing that I thought was really would be a good thing to bring in economically. And the other thing is to look at our small businesses that are developing on the south side, particularly. In those small businesses, I think what can be done there to develop jobs is to enhance those businesses, because small business is really known to produce the most jobs that are long-term as those small businesses grow into medium-sized businesses and so on. And I think that what the city can do is stabilize the small business development on the south side, and help develop the general culture there, because it has its own culture of itself.
There's the south side.
Right. Uh-huh. And I think that, you know, the traditional culture here in New Mexico and the artisan culture and that could be developed so that it would draw more of the local community as well as visitors when they came. It could be a destination point within the city that they could leave, you know, like the main plaza and other
right.
places and go and see what's going on the west, on the south side.
On the south side.
Southwest, yeah.
Now, you were the head of the Native Hispanic Institute, and we all know that there has been tremendous cultural loss as the economy of northern New Mexico has changed. We also know that we're not going to go back to an acequia, agricultural, sheep-shearing, subsistence economy. How do you do cultural preservation in a way that acknowledges the fact that you can't turn the clock back, nor would most people want to?
Right. That's a beautiful question. I appreciate you asking that question, because I founded the Institute back in 2002 to address that question within economics. And In looking at the culture, how I look at it is we have a whole past of all kinds of cultural assets and things that we can bring forth into the future. No, we don't, you know, most of us wouldn't want to go back to the acequia system, you know, culture where we're all farming and subsistence farming and stuff like that, but what it is how I looked at it, is bridging what we have, those assets, community assets, into the future.
What are those community assets?
In the cultural assets are there's lots of them, like the native seeds. That's one of the things that I took on in Chimayo, was to revive that native seed and to get farmers planting it and then setting up their marketing so that they could market it into a modern marketplace and be successful business people.
Which there's a lot of interest because of the whole kind of GMO Monsanto debacle happening around us.
Right. And that's where the challenges come in, because you have like these other interests that are that really don't see the value of just the old culture and the value of the, you know, they're looking at it from a pure industry point of view, and there's quality of life and cultural values that we would hope to maintain, and so it's a challenge. You know, those kind of things are a challenge when you're trying to do something just as simple as preserving a native seed and building an industry. And I've noticed that happens a lot, that there's sometimes industries that are built up that kind of disregard the average person that has their culture and that values their cultural things that they, like their material culture, the things that they make, and in art and stuff. We actually ran into a similar problem as we did up in Chimayo, even when we had to fight a trademark battle and all this. We ran into a similar problem when I was working with the Navajo weavers, because what we were trying to do is connect them directly into the market so that the middleman was that gave them a chance to have a direct market. And we got a lot of slack around that also. And I think that happens when you're looking at a community of people that don't have a lot of assets, that have their cultural things that they do, and there's, you know, industries that have built up around them at the producer as a supplier to the middle person, and then the middle person marketing it. So I think one of the things we can do on the south side is do better marketing for our small businesses.
Marie Campos is candidate for City Council District 3. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Gil Martinez. He is running for City Council in District 3. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, MC.
So, okay, you are running for City Council. Why did you choose to run?
Well, my decision to run for city council is that I'd like to see more accountability and transparency on how we're spending taxpayers' money. That's been a concern of mine since I moved to Santa Fe 32 years ago. The city has done a good job. I think we can do a better job. But here again, I think we need to educate the public on how their funds are being well spent. During the 2008 crisis, a lot of jobs, a lot of financial issues have been brought up, and I think we need a little bit more oversight in how we're spending our taxpayer money.
What areas do you think are not clear or not transparent right now?
Well, to be honest with you, I've been doing some auditing work on behalf of the city up to December 6th, and my responsibility there was to audit how the city was paying their utility bills. Let me just say this, MC, there's been a discrepancy on how we were paying the bills. This is just a small piece. I think I've been very familiar with all the other departments, all the divisions, and I think we just need to go back and look at the budgets, look how they've been spent, and how accountable they have been doing in the last 5 years.
What are some of the other issues in the city that are important to you?
Police presence in the city of Santa Fe. I understand a good majority of our police officers live in Rio Rancho and Albuquerque. I think it's time that we house these officers here in Santa Fe. I do understand that the reason they're in Rio Rancho is because of the affordable housing. That's one thing Santa Fe has challenged here for many years. But I think with the vast vacancies, the full closures in Santa Fe, I think there's room for negotiations with the banks and with the officers. Not those who are now in Rio Rancho, but maybe with the new officers who are wanting to be cadets and work in Santa Fe.
So you think the city could buy foreclosed houses?
Well, I'm not asking that the city look into it. It's between the officer and the bank.
What about crime? We have a lot of burglary. Now we have burglary resulting in murder, horrible situations here in Santa Fe. What should the city do?
Well, as I just previously indicated, we need more police presence in the city of Santa Fe. The more officers we have housed in our residential area, the more awareness possibilities would decrease. But I think we need to start at home. One of the things I'd like to do as city council is to build neighborhood networks throughout District 3, and not just District 3, throughout the entire city. I think we need, as a homeowner, start relying on ourselves, our neighbors. We've seen the issue with police. They're so busy doing other things that in order for them to respond to a burglary, it's not going to be an instantaneous response. Our resources are down. I believe we're 16 officers short.
When you say they're busy doing other things, what are they doing?
Well, crime, aside from burglary, homicides, traffic accidents, drugs, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's talk on a completely different subject about job creation. There's the continual question of how to keep our younger, smart people here and how to create long-term sustainable jobs. What are your ideas?
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't done a very good job. All of my children who graduated from high school, went to UNM, graduated as well, have a successful career in their lives, but they all live outside Santa Fe. The reason being there's not a good job market here in Santa Fe. I think we need to reestablish our partnership with the Santa Fe Public Schools. We also need to partner up with Sandia Labs, Los Alamos Labs, and other companies and see what we can do to support creation of new jobs. My question today is, let's find out who's out there today. What 50 top companies do we have inside the city's limits? Ask those companies if they can add one more FTE, a full-time employee, and see the financial impact. But I think we need to emphasize job creation here in Santa Fe, because we're not doing a very good job.
What kind of new jobs or companies
well,
do you think?
Well, I have to compliment the Santa Fe Incubator. They've done a great job, nursing new businesses, new entrepreneurs into the business world. I think we need to emphasize that program and provide more assistance, whether it's financial or, here again, students who are ready to go into business, and develop some internships as well.
You worked for PNM for many years. How does your work for PNM prepare you for city council?
Well, as a PNM employee for 30 years, retired 10 years ago, I've had a long-lasting relationship with city government. ever since I've been here. And some of the projects I have developed back then are still being used today. For example, our transit system is run by natural gas. I was one of the lead team members to get with the City of Santa Fe and ask them to consider natural gas as their primary fuel instead of using diesel or gasoline. Santa Fe's been known as a clean air community. Well, that was my priority, is to keep this clean air and run it with natural gas, which is the cleanest burning fuel. We also have our water pumping needs that we pump water from the abutment system using natural gas engines, which is saving the community a lot of money, than using electric motors. So that's still been in use since mid-80s. Of course, the Bass Transit System has been around for many years as well. I've always had a lasting relationship with the city. I've developed, I negotiated the franchise agreement with the gas company. We also pilot the project with the electric franchise, which still has not been settled. But I've worked with every city department since I've been here.
You mentioned a moment ago a partnership with the school system. What would that look like? How is the school system failing? How could the city help?
Well, you know, the schools are run by the state. You know, there's two different identities. The city is the city and the schools are schools. But I think if we can bring mentors into the school system or leaders within the school system, as I do, I substitute teach on a weekly basis at all grade levels. And I think...
What subject?
Well, mostly the bilingual skills
in
elementary schools. But I've done history, math, English, but anywhere there's a need. But you know what? One thing I find when I go to the schools, these students look up to and ask the questions, how did I get to where I am today? You know, how successful was I in my job, in my education field? One of the things I do, especially when I go into the high school, regardless of what class, first thing I make it very clear that you will graduate, regardless of what is happening in your life or at home. Your ambition today, with me here, hopefully someone else is going to tell this to you as well. You will graduate. That's one of the things that we've seen very little of here in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, a decrease in graduation rate. I think if we bring in more people who care about our school system into the classroom and hopefully, again, offer some internships, that these students will probably have a future. That's one of the things we need to also do with the City of Santa Fe, is establish a visionary plan. Where do we want our constituents to be in the next 3 to 5 years? Especially in the sustainability of our financial situation with the city government. Do we have the funds to do what we need to do in the next 5 to 10 years?
And how would you go about creating such a plan?
Well, we first need to look at our revenue stream at the City of Santa Fe. Where's all our revenue coming from? We also need to look at our budgets, how well we've been accounted for, and see if there's any possibilities of looking at shortfalls. Realign ourselves, and really, is it a need or a want? Of course, many people want wants, but is it really a need? I think we need to refocus our financial responsibility.
We've got just a little moment left. Anything you want to say to the voters of Santa Fe District 3?
There's three of us running for this district. We all seem to have the same qualifications and views, but my response to those in District 3 is to come out and vote. One vote makes a difference. So I urge everyone in District 3 to come out and vote. Your vote is very important.
Ladies and gentlemen, vote. Tuesday, March 6th is Election Day. The buses are free that day, and it is your civic right and responsibility. Thank you so much, Gil Martinez, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, MC.
I'm very happy to welcome to the show Bill Demas. He's running for City Council in District 4. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So why did you decide to run for City Council?
Well, I had thought about it for a while and started getting a lot of calls from a lot of the constituents in the area because they knew that Matthew Ortiz was going to be leaving the council. So a lot of people were calling me and asking me if I would run, you know, for that seat. And I thought it over for quite a while and decided back in September of last year to go ahead and run for City Council in District 4.
What have you been doing, and how does that relate to the work of a city councilor?
I've been retired for 5.5 years now. I retired as a chief magistrate judge of the Santa Fe Magistrate Court back in 2006. So I was a judge for several years, for 12 years before retirement. And prior to that, I had a law enforcement background. And
what kind of law enforcement?
I was with the City Police Department, with the Santa Fe Police Department. Before I ran for judge, I was doing criminal fraud investigation with workers' compensation.
When we talk about police, we often talk about preventing crime, but we rarely talk about preventing corruption within the police department, which unfortunately is a problem in every town, city, and state in the United States of America. What can be done about that?
I don't see it too much here in the smaller departments. I think you see it in the larger departments where there's more street crime and that type of thing. But as far as corruption in the Santa Fe Police Department, I don't think there's a whole lot of it going on. I mean, we had a problem with the narcotics unit at one point where a couple of the guys were actually selling drugs themselves, and they got caught doing it. But I would say for the most part here in the Santa Fe Police Department, you know, there's really not that much corruption going on. But, you know, to prevent it, you know, it's difficult because you're policing the police, and that, you know, that's why you have an internal affairs division. But anyone who suspects that it's going on, you know, should call the police department and actually report it.
What about crime in general? Street crime, property crime, other kinds of crimes, gangs, things like that. How do you see dealing with that in Santa Fe?
Well, I can tell you that Santa Fe has a big burglary problem. No matter what the stats are telling you now, we've continued to have a serious burglary problem. But, you know, they made 115 arrests last year for burglary. And they're not really getting at the root of the problem. The actual root of the problem is not so much burglars as it is drug activity and drug traffickers. And the people that are committing the burglaries are 95% of them that are actually arrested are affected by drugs of some type. And that is a root problem in Santa Fe.
What can be done about that?
Well, we need to really start doing something about the drug traffickers that are coming in into Santa Fe and who have already established themselves. The Santa Fe Police Department right now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but hasn't had a narcotics unit for quite a while now. Once the corruption that you were talking about earlier started happening within the narcotics unit, they dropped the narcotics unit altogether, and they formed a burglary task force within the department. And it consisted of 5 detectives and I believe 1 sergeant, and then they had a street crimes unit which just handled like purse snatching and that, you know, the regular street crimes that are going on. They only had 2 people in that division and 1 sergeant. I've been preaching about this for quite a while now in forums and so forth, and saying that we've got to have a strong narcotics unit in order to do this.
Not that this is something that the city can speak to, but do you have any feelings about drug legalization?
In a lot of respects, you know, if you legalize drugs, you take the drug traffickers out of it, pretty much. So in that respect, I think you can curb a lot of it. But no, I don't have any really strong opinion on it.
Let's talk about the other issues in Santa Fe. What are the, let's say, the 2 most important issues that you'd like to do something about?
Well, one of the issues that we're dealing with, of course, is crime, and that's a lot of my background is law enforcement. And you know, I'd like to. I started the program of the take home policy back when I was on the council back in the 80s. I was police commissioner back then.
What's that policy?
And the policy was that police officers could take their units home and use
their cars.
Right. And the whole idea was to get officers into the neighborhoods. And that you'd be surprised if you see a police car parked in a neighborhood that prevents crime some prevent somebody from breaking into a house or whatever it might happen to be. We also encourage the officers to take their units, when they went to get a haircut or when they went to the grocery store or whatever it might happen to be, as long as they weren't transporting their families. Well, the program worked great for a number of years, but now they've increased the limit that they can take their vehicles home to.
Also, so many people live in Rio Rancho.
That's exactly what I was getting to.
Yeah.
So a majority of the officers now aren't living in Santa Fe. They're not living in our community anymore longer. So the program has lost its effect in that respect. So what we need to do, and I've got an idea how we can do this, is I think we have an incentive pay program with the police officers now, and that's on swing shift and graveyard. They're paid an extra 10% on swing shift and 15% on graveyard. As an incentive. What I would like to see is an incentive for the officers who live here in town to receive 10, 12, 15% increments on their salary so that and to keep them here in town. Now, that's not going to bring back the people that are commuting to Rio Rancho or Albuquerque, because they can buy a castle in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho for next to nothing in comparison to the cost of living here in Santa Fe. So what I'd like to see is all the new hires that are coming in to have either a 10 or a 15-mile radius that they can take their units home. And it's not going to happen overnight where we get all our officers back, but it will happen over a number of years where the officers will start living here in town, and we can start getting them back into our neighborhoods.
One other issue that you would really like to address, not police or crime related.
One other issue. Let me think. I would guess the other issue would probably be, a bond issue that's coming up although we haven't heard much about it.
Which one?
The new bond issue that's coming up, the $22.8 million, I believe, that's coming up for a vote now on March the 6th. There's a lot of things in that bond issue that are good. The problem that I have with a bond issue at this point is that with having to hire 27 new firefighters in the fire department and also maintaining the park, the new park, when we're having problems maintaining the parks that we have right now, where the money's going to come from to actually hire these officers for the recurring salaries and so forth. So, that's going to be an issue, and the city's going to have to figure out a way to do that.
What about economic development?
I think I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's a new project that was that's being talked about right now. In fact, I think it's in the works, actually. At the rodeo grounds, the Rodeo Association is talking about having an indoor arena there, which is great. That'll bring in a lot of people, a lot of big-time rodeos, and they also want to have concerts there and other things. So, that'll help stimulate the economy a little bit. My understanding is that the city has already set aside $100,000 to help in that cause, and, that's one good project.
Bill Demas is running for City Council in District 4. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Carol Robertson-Lopez. She's running for City Council in District 4. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So you served on the council in District 4 for 2 terms. Then you took some time off. Now you're back. Why?
Because of what's been happening in our country. I'm running to rebuild and restore the middle class. I feel what's happening in our country at a national level, state level, local level, are issues that we all need to be concerned about. And I believe I can make a difference.
What are some of those issues?
Well, I think I'm really concerned about what's been happening with the economy, as everyone is. As I go door to door, I talk to so many people that have had their hours cut, have had to get an additional job, are owners of houses that the amount that they owe on the property is greater than what the house is worth. I've talked to people whose kids have moved back in with them. It's just the economy has really hurt all of Santa Fe and our country.
It's interesting to me that there is so much that is really difficult, the kind of things you're talking about, that are happening as a result of national level policy, and a lot of the most creative energy is happening at the local level. How do you start to fix things like this that really, I have to say, are starting with the totally unjust distribution of wealth?
I think there's some exciting measures happening right here in Santa Fe. For example, Commissioner Holian has introduced a resolution looking at Santa Fe operating its own utility system as a means of sustainability. I think locally, I'm really excited when I go in urban areas and see people that are owning chickens and goats and growing their own food. There's a lot of very exciting things that are happening at the local level as people try to gain more control over their lives.
When you talk about things like chickens and goats, a lot of those things are prohibited by ordinance.
Yes, and I think those are things that we need to revisit, but mostly they're in covenants of property.
Ah, okay. So could I have a goat within Santa Fe city limits?
Well, it would depend where you lived and on many issues. So it's something we certainly want to talk about, because I think what I'm really talking about is sustainability. We want to have a sustainable environment. I was really excited, Mary Charlotte, to be endorsed by the Sierra Club, because I think we all realize that there are many actions that we take at the local level that do impact our environment.
When you talk about sustainability in terms of a municipal level utility, which is something I find very interesting, how do you envision such a local level utility?
I think we have to rethink the power grid. I think we're looking at the fact that with the solar energy that we have, that you could be collecting solar energy in your own home and collecting more than you really need, that you can somehow put that back into the power grid. What's very exciting is that these are the very programs that are being developed at Santa Fe Community College right now in biofuels. So I think city government needs to listen to what these different options are and listen to the technology and start employing it. I'm really excited about the proposals where we have put solar panels into our public transit system. We're talking about solar panels being part of the Genoveva Chavez Center. I think the city can take leadership in terms of sustainable energy.
So you would envision Santa Fe as a very low carbon footprint government?
Yes, and I think it's talking about more local control about a lot of these issues. Many of them have to be explored. I think we're just at the exploration level in terms of our utility, owning our own utility, and whether that's someplace that we want to go. But we have seen what Santa Fe's been able to do by controlling its water company. We're able to determine our rate structure. We're able to determine the conservation measures, and we're able to decide to have water in our river. I think there's a lot of choices that we're able to make because we do own that water utility.
I think there's something that people tend to forget, which is that when you have a municipally owned utility, their entire mission is to serve the public with a public good, namely water or, let's say, energy, as opposed to making a profit from it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what are some of the other issues that are driving you and your candidacy?
Well, I think there's also a huge issue with public safety. I recently was at a neighborhood watch meeting, and we asked how many people had had their homes burglarized, and it was shocking that the vast majority of the room had suffered a burglary.
Oh, my goodness.
We've seen our police force has been making inroads on burglaries, but we need to do more. We need to strengthen our Crime Stoppers program, our neighborhood watch, and I think it's time we start growing our own. And by growing our own, I'm referring to police officers. I think it is we haven't done enough to recruit people that are looking for a career change, that because of the changing economy, that being perhaps selling mortgages is no longer a viable, that people might be interested in going into law enforcement and be able to meet the stringent requirements and the tests. And then we would have people that live in Santa Fe wanting to work in law enforcement, as well as we do have a two-year program at the community college in law enforcement. I think we need to be reaching out to the students in that program and getting them to stay in Santa Fe.
What do you think are the roots of this kind of crime, property crime and so on, and how would you deal with that?
Well, we do know the roots of most property crime are drugs. And I can tell you right now that if you have a substance abuser in your home and you wish to get them into the program, there's at least a 4 to 6 month wait to get counseling, to get substance abuse counseling. We don't have the facilities, and it's something that the community needs to continue to focus on. Drugs are a horrible, horrible plague on our community.
Do you have any thoughts about drug legalization?
No.
I find it fascinating that you left city council and are coming back. What draws you in terms of the process? Did you, I mean, besides that sense of need to serve and for very noble reasons, do you enjoy it?
Yes, I really do enjoy listening to the testimony about complex problems and trying to find the common denominators. Most problems, if you listen long enough, you start finding that 80% of the problem people agree on. And when you're able to bring that agreement forward, you're able to get a lot of problems solved. And I do enjoy looking for the answers to complex problems. It's usually complex answers. Somebody once said, well, I'll listen to both sides of the issue. Well, I wish issues were so easy to only have two sides. Every issue has so many different complexities and so many different impacts.
And I think having a primarily two-party system makes people think in a polarized manner about issues that are multi-sided.
Right, and I think that's probably one of the problems in our country right now, that we are so polarized instead of focusing on all those things that we agree on. And I think that's where the American people are just really sick of this polarization, because we all want many of the same things. We all want to be able to live in a nice house. We all want to be able to eat good groceries. We all want meaningful employment. There's so much more that we have in common in this country, and we're just not focusing on it.
When you look at the whole question of job creation, what kind of economic development do you think Santa Fe is most ripe for?
Well, I think we need to continue to work on diversifying our economy. We do have the creative economy here. We are a perfect place for innovation for startup companies, and I think we're fostering that. But I also see some low-hanging fruit, because we have all the components right now. With the Rail Runner coming to town every day, those trains should be filled with people from Albuquerque. There's 750,000 people there that could be encouraged to come and spend their day in Santa Fe. We could work with local media personalities to have contests about their perfect day in Santa Fe. People would come, they'd eat in our restaurants, they'd visit our museums, they could bolster our economy and our gross receipts tax, and everything's in place. But right now, when you get off the train, there really isn't what you need to have meeting you. We should have people meeting those trains. We should explain the Santa Fe pickup. We should show. I ask people now, why don't you ever take the train to Santa Fe? Well, we're afraid when we get there, what will we do? Well, we need to give those answers to people and show how you can get on our bus system, how you can go to this museum, that museum, how you can walk to the plaza. We need to just really do a sales job to get people coming to Santa Fe. And that would give an immediate boost to our local economy in terms of our gross receipts tax. Because when people come, they eat, they buy souvenirs, they buy tickets at the museums, and it could just be an incredible boon, and it's all in place. It's just a matter of doing the right publicity.
Carol Robertson Lopez is running for City Council in District 4. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte, and I hope everyone puts a circle around March 6th and gets out and votes.
Indeed.